I have seen so much dysfunction come out of the obsession with hyper lean fit bodies or hyper strong bodies.
You've just tuned into Rebel Wellness Podcast, your resource for realigning and revitalizing your health and well-being. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales. I'm a holistic health educator, certified nutritionist, and fitness professional of nearly a decade. I'm stoked to have you with us. You just joined a community of amazing souls who are ready to break free from the confines of the often outdated and confusing health advice all around us. Living in a world overwhelmed by quick fix diets and unrealistic beauty and body standards, us rebels stand for change. If you're like me, you're exhausted with the confusion and polarization plaguing the social media health scene. My mission is to empower you to step beyond today's diet culture. Adopt a holistic health approach paired with the foundations of science for lasting, well-rounded wellness. Through teaching you how to tune in and embrace your mind, body, and soul, we'll reject one-size-fits-all solutions, realigning you on a better path that honors your unique needs and values. With new episodes weekly, this podcast is your sanctuary for deep wellness exploration, featuring expert advice, real-life stories, and a true commitment to your growth. Your journey to better health and simplicity in life begins now. Let's jump right in. What's up, Rebel? We are ending September. We are actually into October already by the time that this is launching. And I think that it's been a really great time. You know, I've been talking a lot about a soft girl season. We're kind of slowing down. We're shifting into autumn. And I have been embracing a little bit of less structure when it comes to a couple of these episodes this season. And it's something that I think you guys should just kind of prepare for a little bit more as I am kind of, you know, trying to slow down and take better care of myself. You know, I absolutely love doing my science-based, you know, very structured, longer format chats. So those are absolutely still going to be involved, of course. However, I just hope you guys can sit back, relax, enjoy some of these little episodes with a little bit more commentary, a little less structure, kind of just more of Coach Kales' thoughts on a lot of the health topics going around, you know. And lately, you know, one of the biggest discussions that I wanted to comment on today, you know, from my personal experience with my own life, as well as things that I've observed for my clients, especially when I've worked with them for years through different seasons of life, something that I've also seen become a very popular, buzzy chat on social media in the wellness fitness space is longevity focused fitness. So a lot of people are starting to be more curious about ways that they can keep fitness in their life that is meant for the long game. And this is not a super new topic for the fitness episodes that I've had on Rebel Wellness, but it's definitely one of those things where I kind of wanted to bring it back to basics and talk you guys through like my own personal journey with fitness, how it got me to where I am now, and hopefully inspire you to kind of assess your own relationship to fitness, how you view it, how you use it, you know, if you're somebody who yo-yos, goes on, goes off, because it's really important to establish like consistency and a level of discipline that's not so rigid, but is also still enough of a, you know, I guess there's like different spectrums of discipline as I'm kind of talking about it out loud, but you know, it's rigid, but it's not in the sense where you can't forgive yourself for taking a week off or a month off if you need it for whatever life things come in, but where you can also still be like, okay, and now, even though I may not want to, even though my body is like, we've been enjoying doing nothing for months now, being like, okay, I need to get my butt back in gear, get back into a routine, you know, find out what works for you in that season. So that's what I'm going to talk to you guys about today. And before we get into that chat, go ahead, go to my website, check out the links in the show notes. There's all the good stuff in there, freebie downloads that I've created for you guys. I will continue to keep making more of these, especially during this next, I don't know, half year or so. I've got so many great ideas that I'm going to be launching for you guys. And there's also the opportunity to come join our wellness newsletter. It's one time a month. So you can go to coachgales.com, or you can, again, just go to the show notes. That's the easiest way, right? And join our communities on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast and at Kaylee Loren. I'd love to see you join the crew. But without further ado, let's dive into this topic today. Okay, so what do I mean, again, by kind of longevity-focused fitness? It's kind of like, it's funny that they describe it as a wellness trend, because in reality, I think it's been something that many people have been capitalizing on or implementing in their life for decades, maybe centuries, honestly. People didn't really do fitness quite the same as we do it now, because I've noticed that because our lives have made us so sedentary, we actually have to be very intentional about movement in our life, right? And that's something that I find to be kind of interesting when you really think about it, because a lot of people don't understand how come we deal with so many chronic diseases and metabolic dysfunctions and just more aches and pains earlier than, you know, historically we needed to, because we don't move as much, because we are sitting in these very cramped positions. We're not drinking. We're breathing really shallow. We're not drinking water. Sorry. Let me clarify. We are drinking too much alcohol too nowadays on average, but all of these baseline habits, you know, not getting enough steps. If you're not stepping more than 6,000 steps a day, you're very sedentary. You know, these things weren't really the way that they are now, because we are like just inundated with social media, electronics, different types of work, work from home, which usually means a lot of hours logged on the computer, yada, yada, you know, the jazz. And this is like, this may not be for everyone. You know, a lot of people might actually be pretty active and may have to assess longevity focused fitness from a different lens. Like maybe, like, especially if you're a restaurant worker or, you know, well, I don't know, real estate people tend to be in their cars quite a bit, even though they are walking around homes a lot for showings. But I would say if you have a more active job, passively active, you may actually need to reflect opposite. You may actually have to see where can you implement a lot more rest and digest to make your lifestyle more longevity focused. And that's a really, you know, that's an interesting topic. I'm going to talk about that more here soon. But when we're talking about longevity focused fitness, you know, we're looking at centering your relationship to fitness around enhancing both the quality and the length of your life through, you know, specific tailored exercise routines or specific modes of fitness or, you know, different holistic health practices in general. So it's not exactly like conventional fitness programs that primarily are aiming for aesthetic goals or short-term performance goals or athletic goals or, you know, usually fat loss. It's actually looking to have overall well-being, prevent injury, maintain a really solid physical health as you age, which is absolutely 100% how I have trained over the last decade, training people. And, you know, I didn't realize how much I was kind of just starting to shift that direction, because I think subconsciously I started to realize that ultimately that is the best thing for everyone, you know, general population, because I train general population. There'd be some athletes kind of sprinkled in there, but it was more few and far in between, because I tended to have that large age range, you know, it was anywhere from mid-20s all the way up to the early 80s, honestly. And I mean, some of them even were like young, like 18, 19, you know. I've trained it all, and dominantly my age group lands between the 30 to 50 zone, which most people in those age ranges are trying to just be in better shape, take better care of themselves. I would say like 97% of people started working with me for fat loss goals, but we would kind of slowly shift them into focusing on more of a longevity focused fitness approach, and naturally fat loss and strength would come with it. And so we don't really see, I mean, I don't really see fitness any other way for myself. I can totally understand it. I've been trained in sports athletes, powerlifting, all that stuff throughout my career, but it was never something that I felt like was actually the most beneficial for my clients or for the audience that I would be kind of talking to and educating, you know? So I absolutely love the fact that longevity-focused fitness has shifted to be a, you know, even if they are calling it a wellness trend right now, I think that it is the right direction for us to go, because I have seen so much dysfunction and not real health come out of the obsession with hyper lean fit bodies or hyper strong bodies or athletes who don't take care of themselves and they just hustle, 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 you know. And unfortunately, I think a lot of that side is kind of indoctrinated and people are kind of put on this pedestal, at least in their own mind. And it's pretty detrimental. Like, I have a good friend who has a podcast that's all about, you know, athletes when they get that really bad injury that throws them out of their career in sports. I can't remember the full name of her podcast, but it's been doing really well because there's this interesting phenomenon that not enough people were talking about when you're a like career athlete and then you get that one injury and you're done. And you're out of it. Like, that life is no longer your life anymore. And so for me, you know, I've always observed that, especially from like a high school age when I saw that happen to a few of like my friends who were in athletics. And I was like, you know what? I don't think that it makes sense to just batter your body down just because you quote unquote love the sport. Because if you love the sport, you'd also need to equally love your body, or more so love your body and protect it, take care of it, do the best you can with it, because you can't do the sport without your body, right? You know, it just is like makes the most sense. But at the same time, a lot of toxic mentalities have come into athletics for decades. And unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of people that are still suffering from injuries from athletics and not being taught to take better care of themselves, you know, to take that rest week, to take the rehab, to do the right things. And so it's so essential, you guys, that you pay attention to your body when it's asking you to do this or that. You know, getting stronger is uncomfortable and it comes with pain. But at the same time, if you're doing it properly, you're guided by some really good quality professional help, if possible, you are going to feel better in your day to day, move better, resist aging better. There is a common denominator between the people who are 50 and move around like they're 30s and then the people who are 50 and move around like they're in their 70s. I've seen it all the way around. And the people who move around like they're in their 70s, but they're only in their 50s, totally did not take care of themselves in the way that their body was asking them. They just pushed through. They had that, you know, hardcore athlete mentality. And it was for what? It was for what? You know, you're going to be in your late 60s soon and probably need more surgeries, probably need cortisone shots and packs and bandages and braces and therapy, physical therapy, maybe mental therapy. And, you know, you're going to have burned through your cartilage because you didn't feed yourself enough protein to support the collagen production necessary for keeping your joints healthy. And, you know, I could go on. I could go on of all the stuff that I've seen and, you know, can and will happen to a lot of people if they don't listen to their body asking for more recovery, more fuel, aka eating more, eating better quality food, hydrating better, replenishing the nutrients, you know, all the stuff that professional athletes nowadays have in the bag. Because their team is so focused on optimizing them as much as possible that they can have somebody who they have a nutritionist who helps them eat enough and get enough nutrients, you know, and athletes need 2 to 3 times to 4 times, depending on the sport, the amount of daily required nutrients than a normal person. So somebody who just does occasional things. So if you are somebody who like works and uses their body for a sport or even strength training in a more intense way, even spin cycle 2 times a week intensely, you need more nutrients than the average Joe, okay? And that's something that I think also gets waysided a lot when you don't, again, listen to what you need. And these professional athletes also have PT people who stretch them, you know, all these resources that are fantastic to them nowadays. But at the same time, that means if you are somebody who is an athlete, you play a sport at least weekly or biweekly, and you are training in some way aerobically or anaerobic would be things like strength training and stuff like that. If you're doing any of that weekly, you do need to pay attention to the nutrients that you're getting. You cannot undereat your protein if you want to have a longevity-focused fitness routine. You must fuel yourself enough with enough amino acids and nutrients to support all the systems in your body, including muscle growth. But it's not just about muscle growth. I've seen a lot of people with like saggier, crepey, loose skin, even in their 30s, because they are neglecting the amino acids necessary to provide collagen to the body. And you can't just take a collagen supplement all the time and assume that it's going to give you that collagen. You actually need the building blocks of that collagen, which is a variety of nutrients and mainly circles around collagen building vitamins and minerals and amino acids that help build the collagen peptide chain, okay? So if you are somebody who's in their 40s with really loose, crepey skin and you've been following any weird diets, you know, I honestly, unfortunately, do tend to see this happen quite a bit with people who attempt to do plant-based because they neglect the amino acids necessary that they would get easily from a little bit of protein, like animal protein every week. Because they remove all animal protein, they have a really hard time getting those amino acids, especially if they used to eat animal protein in their early stages of life. And therefore, they get this really crepey, saggy, aging skin really fast. And you either have to reincorporate animal proteins or you need to be very intentional about your amino acid supplementation and making sure that your gut health is right so that you are absorbing it properly and using it properly. You could find a good quality amino acid protein powder, or well, yeah, it would be a protein powder like Sprout Living or something like that. You know, a lot of the stuff that I recommend for you guys supplements wise is going to be in that Amazon link in my website, coachgales.com. But for the sake of understanding how important it is to match your nutrition with your fitness, if you want to be longevity focused, you must know that that is so essential. You can't be eating like a burr. You can't be like restricting just because the scale went up 2 pounds. And if you don't understand how the scale fluctuates naturally and you are above the age of 21, you really should go listen to episode 42 on my podcast because I talk all about what the scale means and how to better understand your body's natural fluctuations. If you move up and down between 2 to 5 pounds monthly, especially around your cycle, if you're still naturally cycling, that is very normal. It is most likely water and inflammation and other things going on in your body, especially during your period. If you are slowly creeping up, like if you weigh yourself every Sunday just for data and you start to see in about like 2 or 3 months, the scale is on average a couple pounds higher, that's probably fat gain. If it keeps going up and down your original weight on the first time you weighed, it's not. You're not gaining weight. You're reading body water as fat and you're probably harming your metabolism by restricting your food the next couple days just because you think that you gained some weight, okay? But again, episode 42, if you want to learn more about that, if that was interesting and you never thought about it that way, go listen to that because that is not longevity focused. And we really want to be paying attention to what keeps the body in the happiest homeostasis as long as possible. Okay, so let's kind of shift into that conversation now. So something that is lost in the understanding of, you know, anything holistic wellness and longevity focused is things must be able to be adhered to. And your body cannot fluctuate massive amounts of weight back and forth and back and forth. So you should not be, you know, if you are at a body fat percentage above 36% body fat, yes, you do want to get that into a healthier body fat percentage zone, which for females, that's usually anywhere from 18% to I would say about 34% is like the top 36 is the toppiest if you're a specific ethnicity that tends to be at a higher body fat percentage genetically. And it's so important to know, you know, if you are above that, you probably should get yourself into a healthier body fat percentage. Then you want to maintain that as long as possible. You want to maintain where you're at as long as possible. If you're going through different phases where all of a sudden you lose a bunch of weight and you can't keep weight on, bad sign. If you go through phases where you just put on a ton of weight out of nowhere. And, you know, it could be habit related. It could be unexpected or not. You're not able to pinpoint like why that happened. Bad sign. The happiest sign is going to be consistency. So again, fluctuating up or down 5 pounds is a very happy homeostasis. You can also still be happy fluctuating up and down 10 pounds, but you do not want to do more than that. It is really hard on your organs and it causes long-term damage, yo-yoing back and forth upwards of 15 pounds to 20 to 30 to 40, you know? So this is where dieting too hard and not taking care of yourself once you've gotten to that weight and then gaining it all back or more can be very hard on your health, and it will take years off of your life. This is a known thing. It's in studies. I can try to find some to link in the show notes for you if you're curious about learning about it, but you can also just go on PubMed and such and search that keyword, because it is pretty fascinating how yo-yo dieting is actually going to take years off of your life. And a lot of us yo-yo diet without even realizing it, right? But when it comes to your fitness, same thing goes. You want to be paying attention to as consistent with your movement as possible, but not repetitive. So you're not necessarily trying to choose like one mode of fitness and then only do that the rest of your life and sometimes sprinkle in other things here and there. You're usually going to get what's considered an overuse injury. And that I have seen time and time again, especially, you know, clients that are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, because they, you know, had a passion. They love a certain mode of fitness or a sport or whatnot, you know, technically a sport is a mode of fitness. But then they have done the same thing over and over and over again. Maybe they've been nursing an injury, maybe a bad knee that they just slapped a tight brace on for artificial support while they play it. And then all of a sudden it tears or is chronically inflamed, or there's a ton of scar tissue that needs surgery to take it out, or you just live with it. And that can be absolutely prevented because the body is just not meant to be doing the same plane of motion and the same type of impact over and over and over again. It needs to move in different directions and it needs to be challenged in different ways. So this is where I have found a really happy balance for myself personally. There's a buzz phrase of functional fitness where it's kind of more compound, you know, movements that are functional for your life. So they play a role in whatever you do in your life and they help you stay stronger and, you know, more resilient when it comes to whatever happens in your life that you do all the time, you know? And this would be in like opposition of like bodybuilding. You know, bodybuilding is not always the most functional form of fitness. Usually more often than not, it's not, because it's actually very unhealthy habits of dieting, so restricting heavily, getting to a really lean body fat percentage, then gaining a ton back so you can put more muscle on. So you're, again, yo-yoing, right? You're yo-yoing for the mask of health, quote unquote, when in reality, it's not healthy at all. And it's definitely unhealthy also mentally. But not only that, bodybuilding is not conducive to what we would call, quote unquote, functional fitness, because it doesn't transfer very well into life, because you're mostly trying to build those muscles individually and isolate those muscles so that you can get them to look a certain way, to get the points, to win the things and the stuffs. And so there's not usually a lot of transfer into life of strength training in that way, other than you usually are stronger, but you're usually a lot less flexible, less mobile, because you're hyper contracting all the time and the muscles are so big. And if you have like shorter limbs, it can just reduce your ability to actually like be mobile. And mobility is injury prevention. If you do not have any mobility, you are going to get injured. That's just the way it is. And so it's important that you mix the two, right? So for me, for example, I make sure, like I had in the last episode, that I pay attention to incorporating yoga and movements or modes of fitness that involve forced flexibility and mobility, moving in different planes and challenging my muscles in those planes that is not common to life. So every time you get injured, think about this, you usually did something that wasn't normal, right? You know, with the exception of like lifting a box off the ground, but that would be like a compound movement of a squat or a deadlift. That's where the strength training comes in. But, you know, you're playing a sport or you're running after your child or you fall on a curb. You know, that happens to my clients all the time. Or you're hiking and you roll your foot on something. Your body is moving out of its normal plane of motion. So meaning you're rolling your ankle off to the right. Your ankle is always moving straight forward. So I'm trying to keep that in layman's terms so it's kind of easy for you to observe. Your knee, you get bonked and you get knocked to the side. Your knee tweaks off to the right, or it twists in a way that it never twists, right? So those are ways that you get injured because you're not practicing things that help your body be under that load in that unusual plane of motion. And there are a lot of planes of motion that you can be in that the body can handle as long as you're putting it there relatively consistently. So that could even be just every two weeks, but weekly is best. So, you know, if you can combine some sort of yoga or a mobility class, or you can even pay for the people at like Stretch Lab, if you have a Stretch Lab near you, to do that for you, you know, but honestly, you need to put in the work for yourself. Nobody's going to help you but you. So you need to do the work if you want to have a longevity focused relationship to fitness the rest of your life. And so mobility and flexibility are essential. Strength and resistance training, also crucial, because you need to maintain muscle mass, bone density, metabolic health, etc. as you age. Because as you get older, the moment you hit 50, at least from when I was in schooling, that was kind of the timeline, you lose your ability to build muscle faster and faster. So if you put it on now and you maintain it now, once you hit that age range, you're going to be light years ahead of a lot of your peers because you played the long game and you had some foresight and you put on the muscle while you had more energy, maybe more time, more recovery ability, you know, stronger mitochondrial activity. You know, there's a lot of biohacky reasons to put on muscle now. So do not wait until it's too late. Okay. That is so, so, so important. And muscle is your metabolism, especially for my ladies who are going to go into perimenopause and menopause. You will reduce how much body fat your body wants to put on while you're going through menopause by having more lean muscle mass. And you will just have a better body fat composition as you go through that as well. So you're not going to be getting as much of the fat on the back of the arms and the lower belly and the outer hips, you know. Those are the areas that we tend to see when you have a metabolic dysfunction, and menopause is a huge metabolic change. So, and then everyone goes through it if you're a female, you know, so you can prevent a lot of that discomfort and challenge by getting into some sort of strength routine weekly, 1 to 2 sessions a week. You can do full body. If you can do 3 or 4 sessions and you have a good program to follow that's interesting for you, go for it. You know, stick to the big compound moves, pull-ups, push-ups, squats, deadlifts, core work, planks, bear crawls, you know, there's so many things, and they don't have to be boring. You can show up to a small group class that's local, you know, go on Google, search around, see if you can find anything like that. But if you can get at least some good solid strength training in those methods of motion that are going to support your lifestyle, that is going to be so key. Do not skip out on it. You're not going to get bulky. You're going to put on lean muscle that's going to help you in the long term so well, okay? Also, cardiovascular health, another component to a longevity-focused fitness routine. That can be literally hiking. You know, if you can get your heart rate between the 130 to 170 zone at least once a week, ideally 2 times a week, 3 times a week, I would not exceed that with a high heart rate zone more than 3 or 4 times a week, depending on, like, you know, if you're age 30 and up, because you're going to start pushing yourself possibly into a little bit of a, there's not exactly a specific term for it, rather, but it is when you're in aerobic exercise too frequently, the female body has this kind of reaction where it realizes that it needs to compensate for the calories being burned through cardiovascular activity, that it will do this phenomenon called muscle pare down, where it limits how much muscle you can put on because muscle at rest burns more calories, and which is why muscle is strategically the best thing you can do for your longevity. But with cardiovascular fitness, when it starts to exceed 3 hours a week or so, above the 150 heart rate zone, you're going to start getting hungrier because your body's going to want to have more carbs because it's realizing that you're burning those calories for too much, too frequently throughout your week. And it's going to be like, I don't know, I need to take better care of myself, because the female body just always wants to be in a position where it can be fertile until you hit that menopausal zone. Okay. So your body thinks of body fat as fertility, because it is. And therefore, it's going to want to protect it as much as possible. And cardiovascular fitness, that's in zone two, zone three, that is going to be a more stressful style of cardio on the body, which, if you have a stressful life already, can be negative. That's why some people will tend to notice that they run, they run marathons, all these different reasons and whatnot to try to stay lean. And then they start to have this really stubborn layer of body fat. By design, cortisol is the essential hormone that helps you convert glucose into energy. And therefore, you're spiking your cortisol while you're doing a lot of cardio. So it is not a good idea to do cardio for more than 3 or 4 hours a week, depending again on how well you take care of yourself with how much nutrients you get in and how much rest you get. If you sleep like crap, you should not be doing an excessive amount of fitness every week if you want to have a longevity-focused routine. You need sleep for everything. If you do not have good quality sleep, your brain is, I don't want to sound hardcore, but scientifically, it's dying. It's not getting its time to recover and to repair, to store memories, to operate properly, to tell what hormones to do what. Your pituitary gland in your brain, girl, it tells your body all the things to do when it comes to hormones. If your pituitary gland is not getting its rest, it's gonna struggle with everything else, okay? So sleep is so key, so key. So if you cannot prioritize good quality sleep at least 80% of your week, 75% of your week, depending on your age, it gets more as you age, you really should not be exceeding maybe 4 hours total of fitness every week, because then you're going to start to be struggling because you're overdoing it when your body really wants rest. One of the best ways, guys, that you can easily learn your routine is through the sleep and fitness trackers like Whoop, W-H-O-O-P. That's going to be a lot more of an athlete-focused one, but they're kind of the cornerstone of the higher quality sleep tracking and recovery tracking. Next, you're going to have Oura, O-U-R-A, Oura rings. Those are really great for, you know, kind of a low maintenance sleep and recovery tracker. And then you can go into all the other ones that are on the market, you know, varieties of Fitbits, Apple products. There's so many. There's so many things out there. My personal favorite is the Oura Ring because it is definitely more longevity focused. So if that's something that you want to start to shift into, I would highly recommend that. You can look into see HSAs will pay for Oura Rings. You can also do the little payment plan things. Highly recommend it. It's a game changer for so many of my clients and my friends because it kind of reminds you that we mentally have been kind of wired to not actually understand what our body needs. So when you physically have the data and it gives you suggestions, you're like, oh, I have permission now to rest. I thought I needed to do my workout this week because I didn't, but I had a crazy week. You know what I mean? That's so important. And so I definitely recommend a good quality fitness tracker and a sleep tracker to help you hone in and understand like what is your sitch? What is going on with you? Do you need to rewire things in your mind to help you better take care of yourself with data, with something telling you, hey, you should probably consider chilling out, or hey, why don't we do something more today? You've been kind of not doing anything the last 3 days. It'll tell you that, and it'll tell you it, but nicely, usually. So sleep. So that would be kind of in the zone of recovery and stress management. It's essential. A component for longevity focused fitness. And, you know, overall, even though it's not necessarily like I had said already before, you need to pay attention to your nutrition. Make sure you're eating enough. Most women are underfed, or they'll go through periods of being underfed and then overfed because they're not, you know, being consistent with making sure they have enough meals and this or that. Better understanding how much food you actually need. So in the links in the show notes, I actually have a freebie download that you can snag That is a nutrition labels, kind of decoding like how to better understand nutrition labels, which is like such key information, guys. And it's free. You should just download it, grab it. But in there is a link to a total daily energy expenditure calculator. And that thing could rock your world with helping you better understand just how many calories you individually actually need daily to take care of yourself. The problem is many of us females have been raised to believe we need to constantly be under eating so we don't get fat, don't want to do this, blah, blah, blah. You know, all this toxic narratives that we've been taught. And in reality, now many females are underfed and dealing with metabolic diseases because we aren't taking care of ourselves. And underfed, meaning we're not eating the nourishment and the macronutrients necessary for optimal health day to day. So this is not talking about underfed being like you're just chronically in a caloric deficit, because we now know that you can be in a caloric deficit but have a metabolic dysfunction because your body is pissed off because it's deficient in nutrients, it's underrested, and it's not been given proper nutrients through micro or macronutrients. And so it's not in a position where it actually even wants to lose weight, even though you are technically in what would historically be considered a caloric deficit. So, you know, I'm trying not to make that too confusing, but in reality, we're basically understanding now calories in, calories out really does not apply to everybody, and especially females, because females are having this really interesting metabolic adaptation to the way that our environmental factors are impairing our metabolism, our lifestyle factors are impairing it, you know, our work-life balance or lack thereof, as well as, you know, internal stressors, external stressors. The list can go on. But the female body, because it's so unique in how it wants to protect itself and its ability to reproduce and all this different stuff, regardless of if you mentally want to reproduce or not, your body wants to, and it'll do the weirdest stuff at all costs to protect that ability. And that's why I know I always say your fertility is your health, regardless of if you really want to use it, because it says so much about the systems in your body operating properly. And they all support each other when they are operating properly. They do not support each other when they're not operating properly. So if you're not ovulating naturally and all these different things, stuff is going to come down the line to be problematic. And I did just launch earlier this last month a good episode on detoxing off birth control. So if you're somebody who never did anything specific after coming off of years on a synthetic hormone birth control, you really should listen to that episode. It's going to be really, really important for you because it's got some great tips and tricks that a lot of, you know, your doctor never would have told you. You know, it's more of a popular conversation, but nowadays on social media and the doctors who are actually taking the time to teach people, like they taught me. And so that's why I'm trying to share it with you guys and kind of help you, because I went through it more than once and I didn't know it was because birth control made me deficient in very specific vitamins and minerals and a whole lot of things. So episode 88 is a great one for you to go listen to if that applies to you. But anyways, guys, I just want to make sure that you understand how important it is to consider longevity focus, fitness routines, and all those components that I talked about here in this latter part are essential. They are essential. They're non-negotiables in some ways, okay? And it's so important that you look at your lifestyle, look at your weekly calendar, see where you can start to put those things in place, put systems in place that support it, put weekly or morning rituals into your routine that help support that, put nightly rituals into your routine that help support that. And, you know, maybe soon I will do some episodes on morning and night rituals and routines that are very supportive of health. If you guys want to hear more about that kind of stuff and kind of jog some ideas together of what you could do, because all of those things are going to be what separates you from being decrepit when you're 60 and or being like freaking J-Lo and RFK Jr. And all those people, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who are up in their 60s, late 50s, early 60s, or just 60s in general, even 70s. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger's in his 70s, isn't he? I don't know. But point being, looks fantastic, right? Mostly because he has upkept his nutrition and his fitness because he knows exactly how important that is. You know, his documentary was really interesting if you want to learn the life of a very fascinating human. So anyways, I hope this episode was helpful for you guys. You know, it's a conversation that I think is so great that we're having more of it now. And I really hope that you can reflect on your life and see where you need to kind of up the ante, let's say, with some of your fitness regimen weekly. Okay. So share this episode with somebody you think needs a little kick in the booty to shift into a longevity-focused fitness routine. But as always, celebrate your strength and nourishment, walk with confidence, and I will catch you next week on another episode of Rebel Wellness. What did you think about that episode? If you enjoyed it, I hope that you would come join my community on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast or my coaching page at Kaylee Loren or both. I would love to see your name pop up on my new follows list. I might say hello if I catch you. And I would also like to invite you to come check out my website, coachkales.com, if you're interested in seeing any more of the educational learning resources I have created for you. I have a whole ton of amazing free downloads that you can like dip your toe in the water of what working with me looks like. And if you are really vibing with what I have to say and how I teach it, come explore my courses that are available for purchase. They are all do-it-yourself. In the near future, I plan to have some awesome group coaching that will be all live. So stay tuned for that. And the best way to know when I'm going to launch those is through my monthly wellness newsletter, which is my hand-curated, not AI-generated, monthly all things health and wellness newsletter that I created to be your new favorite resource for staying up to date with the latest in the health world, self-care resources that I've created, and a bunch of the clean beauty picks that I personally use myself and a whole lot more, as well as early access and discounts to anything that I create in the future for specifically my newsletter sign up. So if you'd like to sign up, head to coachkales.com and add yourself to my mailing list. Last but not least, I would absolutely love it if you would help our podcast grow by simply sharing a rating or review wherever you stream and are listening to me right now, and share it on your social medias or text it to some friends or family members if this episode resonated and was something that you think could help somebody else, because I really would love to help anybody in your circle if I've been helping you. So I absolutely am so grateful that you're here. And if you listened all the way through, you are a real one. So all right, Rebel, until next episode.